Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead.
Good morning, 7:38 here on News. Sorry, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Michelle Salzman is our state representative for District 1. That is the northern... 90% of Escambia County. I always think of it as the northern half, but, you know, it's really a lot when you look at it geographically. We're just population dense on the south end. Michelle, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. So what I intended to talk about, you have been over in the Big Bend area, and I want to talk about your experience working on hurricane relief. Before we get to that, the reason I had texted you yesterday to see if you wanted to come on and talk about was your opinion piece you had in the PNJ that essentially says that we ought to have driver's education as a mandatory course in all of our high schools. Because, good Lord, kids can't drive. I know that's a short summary of your piece, but that's basically the thrust of it, right?
Yeah, you could say that. And a lot of conversation I've been having across the state is, listen, it's not even just about the kid knowing how to get from A to B. Those driving courses teach defensive driving.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we have near misses as adults. We go, oh, my gosh, that idiot just pulled up from me. Oh, my gosh, you know. Because we're trained skilled drivers, most of us are, because we have experience. And so when you take that driver's test in your basement or in your bedroom with your best friend giving you answers, you're not necessarily getting the same instructional experience that you would get in a classroom. And so we know that we would be saving lives, not just kids' lives, but also the lives of other drivers. And you know, the opinion piece is more of a vision, obviously, or not obviously, if you don't know, listeners don't know, we are not going to be able to mandate driver's ed for every youth driver going into, into a car. Not yet. We are looking at a step scenario. I've been meeting with the chancellors because the secretary, Manny Diaz, was like, hey, great idea, Salzy. Let's figure this out. And I was like, oh, great. He goes, by the way, go in this conference room. I have everybody waiting for you. I was like, okay. So we're doing it. But truthfully, every single person I've spoken to about this, not a single one has said, well, that's a bad idea. Not a single teacher has said, well, I don't think that's good. And even in that room of chancellors, all former principals, they were literally tears in their eyes sharing individual stories about how they lost a student in high school from driving, whether it was a drunk driver where they didn't drive, you know, they didn't know how to react, or it was themselves where they were distracted or whatever. So it's just an excellent idea. And I can't even take credit, to be honest. This came from Martha at Eagles Talon, who runs something called ABATE, which is a motorcycle safety organization. And then Scott Lunsford, everybody knows Scott, the tax collector, because he's like, man, these kids don't know how to drive anymore. We need driver's ed back. So my friends always have the best ideas, and I try to get them through. But I'm really grateful that the News Journal published that, so we can bring conversation and just
Absolutely.
Really discuss it, because we're looking for creative ideas, which we have some creative ideas, but we're looking for creative ideas to implement it as big as possible.
Because it's
across the line.
You know, it seems to me like the way the law ought to be written, if I'm writing it, and you will help write it, is that you can't get a license until you're 18 unless you've gone through an official driver's ed course. That's not a mandate for every student, but that is a way of highly incentivizing it, right? Because you're exactly right. Getting them from, zero to really safe through experience. I mean, I can't imagine where I would have been as a young driver. We were all bad drivers when we were young, but how much worse would we have been if we had not had drivers? And this is what I don't understand is when did we abandon driver's ed in school? Because that was so normal for us growing up, but now it's not even in school. When did that happen? Do you know?
So we were discussing that. We don't know why. We don't know why it was taken away as a requirement. And we didn't really dive into the why. We just stopped right there and said, well, nobody knows why, because it makes sense to have it. Let's figure out how to do
it. So weird.
I can tell you that we have a lot of people. We even have driver's ed in Escambia County. We have driver's ed. It is offered in summertime. Keith Leonard loves the idea, too, but I promised him, not that he, you know, demanded, but I did tell him, listen, we're looking at creative ways. We don't want to pull away from instructional time. We just keep piling on the mandate in the district, you know, across the state. Now you got to teach financial literacy. Now you got to, and yes, we should be teaching those things. But we have to be cognizant. There's only so much time in the day, so we have to take care of our teachers and that instructional time. So where we've landed, should anybody be curious where we're at currently, and it can change, we want to do it after school, like you would do a band or a book club or a, beta club or, language, whatever. We want to try to do it an after-school program. All the school districts do it, and not just one time, because, like right now, we have a driver's ed in Pensacola. You can't get in.
Yeah.
So, that we don't have, there's not enough space, and we're only teaching a handful of kids compared to the hundreds that are getting, or probably thousands getting those driver's license each year. So we're looking at doing it as an after-school thing so we don't interrupt instructional time. And we're potentially, we're looking at, it's my idea, so parents, you can kill me later, but I think it should be self-pay. So if it costs the district $300 to do a class for you where you actually get to get in the car and do drive time and all the things that are meaningful, well, then you should pay like you pay for band or you pay for whatever. And that might not be where we land, but that's kind of where I landed initially because the Speaker Desmond Perez, he and I were talking about it too. He said, Salzy, what about the fiscal? And I said, I we're all concerned because our budget, even though we have a lot of money, if you look at the forecast, we're going to be negative money if we keep spending the way we spend. So we will have to address all of this, and we certainly don't want to add a new program like this and then take away so much money. But
well, I agree with you. I mean, the time, both instructional time and also the cost. But if you think about it the other way around, how much money are parents going to be spending on insurance increase, on car costs for the kid?
Yes.
And that's, they're not paying that yet. There is a sense that, $300 is pretty cheap to be able to get a kid a lot of safety instruction, which is ultimate. This is not about some kind of a mandate. It's really about making our roads safer for our kids and for the rest of us. That's why I so completely agree with you about this. In Santa Rosa County, they do this really good defensive driver training program that you just can't get in because there's so much demand in so little spots. Anything like that would also, of course, be super helpful. I know a lot of that would be taken care of in a driver's ed course. But even so, what they do is above and beyond. One last quick thing before we get to the subject of the hurricane that I wanted to mention is I don't feel like I really understand how the average 16 to 18 year old becomes a driver these days. Like I taught one of the other ones, but because they were homeschooled, but I literally, how do you become a driver when there's no driver's ed? it's a weird problem, right?
Yeah, and that's the question. That is the question at hand, and that's the question that organizations like ABATE and people like Scott Lunsford are asking.
Yeah.
These kids are coming in with driver's licenses. They have no actual practice. The parents, give them keys, say, okay, drive, and then are they doing enough? There's not even, to our knowledge, recommendations to parents. Okay, you should do this with your kids this often, or, it's just more like a free for all. We do have the test you have to take, and then you go in and you get your permit and you do have to pass the same test that you had to pass 20, 30 years ago. But we all took that test. You're driving in circles for a couple of minutes. You have to stop at stop signs.
Nothing.
Very, very minimal. Which,
you get a boat. It's harder to get a boater's license.
I was literally just about to say, if you were to go get a boater license or a scuba license, you would fail at it because you're required to have so much instructional time. That's so funny.
Okay.
I was literally going to say that.
Sorry to steal your line. No, but it's true. So, I'm with you, and I will advocate for it, and we'll talk about it more as we get closer to session and all that. But, I wanted to let people know that you had written that piece, and I wanted to bring some attention to it because I'm kind of dumbfounded that we're where we are, that we haven't been thinking more about how did we get here and how can we make it back to where, they have better experience. I did want to talk for a minute at least about your experience at Big Bend because you were there. You were there yesterday and you just got back last night and you're going back again, tomorrow, is that right?
Yeah, probably early in the morning. I partner with the other lawmakers and all across the state. We have needs, as all across the West Coast. And we've partnered. We're doing it regionally. So I'm running region one, you know, this region of the all the way to the Big Bend. And then we have other folks that are the point people for the other regions in the state. But for us, we're Big Bend. And, you know, I've been through so many of these, and I always go help in disasters. It's just part of who I am. And every time I go there, I'm like, oh, no big deal. I'm so used to this. And then the first hug comes and they're crying and you're just like, oh, my God. And then the emotions come and you just feel so like you're there, like you're a part of it. I mean, it just overwhelms you and then you feel so compelled to do more. And but they're very grateful to see us. You know, when I got there, we were 48 hours in. Past the storm. And if y'all can remember, Ivan, 48 hours past the storm, you still couldn't drive down 9 Mile. I hear you can't drive down it today. Go ahead and blame me. It's okay. It's my road. But it's just an overwhelming feeling of everything is gone. But within 48 hours, we've cleared all the roads. You know, the guardsmen have been phenomenal. We're able to get to the homes and really see and assess the damages and the casualties. And, you know, the first call to action I had was hygiene items and cleaning supplies. We brought, it was probably closer to $10,000. I was trying to be really moderate in my number when I posted about it, but we brought a truckload of items and we delivered it from Jefferson County all the way down. So we stopped in different areas and gave them what they requested. And then I got a call to action on the way home last night. And they were like, we're going to open school soon. We need school supplies and kids' clothes. We, you know, these kids literally have nothing. And I was like, okay, when do you need it? And they said, we want to open the distribution Wednesday morning. And I was like, okay. All right. So today,
let's go home and do some work.
Yeah. But it looks worse than, you know, what you imagine. You know, you see it on TV, mm-hmm. but when you're in person and you see the bill, I was driving down the interstate. Or not the interstate, it's a main highway, and a half of a house was on the side of the road, but there were no houses within a half a mile. Like, there were no houses in it. So somehow or another, a part of a house was in the middle of the road. Mm. I mean, it's there were linemen. I mean, I have never seen so many power lines down. And I talked to other guardsmen and FDLE, and they all said the same thing. Like, we've never seen this much damage with our trees, but it's just all the way down, like for an hour straight, you're driving, it's trees down every, like, you know, 25 wow. feet on top of the power line. So just linemen all the way down, you know, pulling the trees off, restoring power. But it's inspiring and sad at the same time.
Yeah.
So I'm honored to go and help and support. But lucky for me, I have the time, you know, because I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things.
It blows my mind. Andrew, you're the same way.
Never do anything. I did want to say one of the things I've been featuring this morning is that as bad as it has been in Florida, of course, we're all watching North Carolina and Eastern Tennessee. And, you know, the fact that the governor is sending resources to another state because we know how to do this and we know how bad their situation is really a statement of how bad it is there and how much we are able to. Nobody thought this was coming to North Carolina. I mean, despite all the warnings that we all kind of saw might have, they didn't understand what was going to happen at all. And so I appreciate that. I certainly appreciate all the work. Just a couple of notes. I had a bunch of texts come in and I wanted to let some people, somewhat they said, several people, we love her. She's the best. Thank you. Somebody says, please tell her to look at the Texas teen driving model. Somebody else says Tate actually has high school driving during the school year. And somebody else had said here, I don't mean to open a can of worms, but they said, this is great. This is wonderful. What can you do about getting a mandatory driver's training course for senior citizens?
First of all, I wrote down all those notes, the Texas I will look at. And the Tate one might be the one that the superintendent said, we have this. So,
okay.
But Keith Leonard will be in lockstep. I will not file that bill without my superintendent going, okay, Michelle, we can do this.
Yeah.
I love Keith very much. But that's funny. I don't know about the mandatory elderly. I love that. But I'm one of those. I'm like an actual, like, super conservative. So I don't believe in government mandates. And so even this conversation is really hard for me. But I mean, our babies are dying. I have people dying in my district, people dying and all across the state. And how can we help these kids? How can we make the roadway safe? How can we make the walkway safe? So just trying to find reasonable guidelines and structure for these babies so they grow to be great drivers. And,
yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I want to go back to this, Andrew, because you hit on it, and this was our point, too. 300 and something, and this was a number we just came up with off the back of a napkin. It could be 200, it could be 100. But if you take $300 and you do that test or you do that class, within a couple of months, you will have saved that on your insurance. That the savings you get from that class is crazy big.
Oh, that's a great
on your
note.
Insurance.
Yeah. Because insurers know that that kind of classroom, yes, and applied experience is a big difference, just like we, yes, should as parents know that that would make a big difference in their safety when they get on the road. The last thing you want is, you know, 15, 16, 17 year olds learning while everybody else is driving and they're on. And yeah, no, I agree. And the savings, you're exactly right. That's a great point. And all of that. God, don't even get me started about the cell phone thing. You're exactly right about that, too. Michelle Salzmer, State Representative for District 1. Thank you for the piece in the PNJ. Thank you for talking with me about it this morning. Thanks for what you're doing for the Big Bend area and keeping us informed. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.